sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to your broker, Becky Ivins of Movers Real Estate Company, and also leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. We've had an interesting week this week. Our upper end listings are doing well, by the way. So an upper end, by the way, let's just define upper end. We consider upper end in Oklahoma to be somewhere in that $350,000 to $400,000 range and up. And we consider luxury to be usually about that $700,000, $750,000 and up. And the difference being is upper end means it's got lots of good finishes on it. Probably not any bigger than it just costs more. But luxury means that a lot of detail in the finishes, a lot of cost. Luxury homes usually cost about twice as much as the same size home in just the average built home. So you don't get any more space. You just get better finishes, and people buy it for lifestyle rather than just for functionality. So we've got a guest today, Mr. Scott Hill from Call Us First Inspections. And Scott, you inspect all kinds of homes, don't you?
We do. We go all across the line in the market. We don't get a lot of the luxury homes. We've gotten some, but that upper end you're talking about, that we get a lot of those homes. And you know, you're exactly right, Becky, talking about that. Yeah, you named that lifestyle. It's kind of easy once you get to know the people that are buying the house at the inspection. They're just interested in a few different things that look a little bit nicer. And it's just absolutely that luxury and lifestyle go hand in hand together. Although we do enjoy doing those because we make a little bit more money, but I tell you what, it puts a little bit more pressure on you because you got to be really on top of your game to do those well.
Well, and those have many times the luxury homes have the electronically driven systems that most folks manually operate. So you have to be technologically advanced in order to inspect that stuff, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. And a lot of times, just like with you, we work really well with the people. If we can't do it ourselves, then you're always really good with having qualified people that we can call in and help us out. So that makes it a little bit easier as well.
You know, a good leader surrounds themselves with people that are smarter than they are and are experts in their field. And that's definitely what I've spent my career doing, is finding people who are really, really good at what they do. And an example of that is my painter. My painter knows the difference in the different types of paint. Like, he's not going to paint. He painted, for instance, my bathroom, my master bathroom, which, by the way, we don't call it master anymore. The owner's suite, or the primary suite in the home, is that's going to be a hard thing for me to give up, is master bathroom, right?
Yeah, it is. That master bathroom, you know, there's just something about, you know, these the male ego, I guess, likes that master bathroom a little bit more than primary. And if that's a new word, I need to spend a little bit more time with you and make sure I'm saying the right things when I'm putting it on the report.
Well, today's political climate, the word master is not politically correct.
No, you're exactly right, and I'm glad I learned that today from you. I'm gonna get better at that.
Okay.
That's one thing we want to learn.
And it's hard to call it the primary bathroom, though, because primary bathroom would be almost the one in the center of the house that everybody uses. But it is the owner's suite is what we call it, or the owner's bathroom. And, you know, after 40 years, that's going to be a hard one for me to break that habit. But anyway, DJ, my painter, for 20 years, painted my bathroom. I mean, my woodwork is like a piece of fine furniture in that bathroom. But you don't paint most houses like that. And I wouldn't pay to paint most of my house like that because it costs a lot to get that fine of a job. But he's a great painter. He knows how to touch up paint that's already there without painting the whole room. And he knows how to caulk. That's the main thing about a painter. You got to know how to caulk before you paint. So to make it a great product. So, but anyway, if you go to my website, which is BeckyIvins.com, and look on the tab that says Favorites, Becky's Favorites. Scott, you're there.
I am.
Yeah.
We use that a lot. We go there. I was going to say, you know, one of the other comments about painters, I think, and it's good for the audience to know, there's a difference in painters, just like there's a difference in every other component specialist. And those that do those luxury ends, they seem to have I hope this is the right word, but they seem to have an artistic quality about them too, as well as just being able to go in and kind of sling paint around. That they just got to be a little bit more artistically oriented and looking at the details a little bit more.
Well, and DJ has a really good eye for color. Some people can see the pigment in color more than other people. And I have been trained by my friend, Jonna James, to look. She's an artist. And, you know, when I was picking out tile for my house, she said, well, just pick out 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 tiles that you like and put them up here and let me see what your style is. And so I picked out what I thought were 8 tan tiles. And she goes, oh, so you like green? And I said, green? I like tan. She goes, no. Becky, look, this is pink. This is blue. This is gray. This is brown. And there was an undertone pigment that I had not seen until she pointed it out. And now I've trained myself to do that. It's not that I couldn't. It's just I didn't know.
Sure.
And DJ, the painter, is like that. He knows, his eye can see all that, and he's real good at matching up stuff. Like he said, when he was painting my front door, I've got double doors on the front of my house, and they're big because they're 8 feet tall. And he said, what color do you want to paint these? And I said, well, I want you to pick out the color, DJ. And he picked out the most interesting color. It was almost a muddy forest green, kind of almost a taupey green. And it went so well with the house. We've had it touched up but not changed because it's the perfect color. So someone, you know, good experts is what I have. And you know, you lose the bad ones over the years, and I worked with a plumber recently that worked for me for quite a while. I mean, he did stuff for me. He was the only one that actually found a clean out on a house that I had purchased myself. And then I had had 3 people out there. No one could find a clean out, and they all wanted to bust up the floor and put in a whole new sewer line because we couldn't get it cleaned out. And he came out there, and 30 minutes later, he said, well, I got it clean. Got your clog done. And I'm going, what? So he was good. But then it turns out he cut corners that I discovered over a period of time. So now I have the best plumber I've ever known. And he used to be with Waterworks, and I love John with Waterworks, but he does commercial stuff now. John Johnson does. But now I've got Eric the plumber, and it's called Eric's Plumbing, and he is terrific. He's fair. He's on time. He's awesome. So if you want to see my awesome people that I deal with, and the list is not all that long because I'm pretty particular, they're on my website. It's called Becky's Favorites, the most traveled page on my website. So people use it all over the metro, and they're all local folks too, by the way. So
yeah, Becky, if I might comment a little bit, I just for the audience, one of the things that as home inspectors we find all the time, and we find this not only in flip houses, is absolutely almost every time. Flip houses are getting to the point so where it's so competitive now that somebody that buys a house and brings in their own crew and fixes it up, we just cringe sometimes when we get that, because you don't have the professionalism a lot of times because of exactly what you said a while ago.
Exactly. Scott, I'm going to have you hold that thought, because we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more. Call in 840-1000 if you have a question for a home inspector. Scott Hill is here with us. This is Becky Ivins, Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team. You can contact me anytime. Just call my office. It's 405-722-3232. It's 722-3232. And Scott Hill is on the line with us. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Becky. Thank you again for having me.
Oh, sure. Scott, you're kind of our go-to on our home inspections. Not kind of, you are. people can choose anyone they want to for their home inspection.
Sure.
And we tell them that. And most people don't know a home inspector. So we say, well, we've got a home inspector that we like because he's thorough, he's timely, and he writes a very clear report so that there's no guessing as to what he's saying. And those three things are really important to us, and the fact that you know what you're doing, you know the systems of a house, and your team does. You have a team, don't you?
We do. We have four people and five people, including myself. And I think to just add a little bit to that for the audience, Becky, is, you know, when you really get good at home inspections is when you really get to know the realtors that you're working with. Realtors and, you know, it's not like it's not unlike you're building a team, quite frankly, because you get to know the people, what they expect, you know, the timeliness and so forth. But more than anything else, how to act with the presentation at the end. I think that's one of the things that your realtors, I know you've worked with them one-on-one, and they work so well with us. If there's a problem, you know, you don't want to make it sound like the house is fixing to fall down. It's a problem. We need to get it fixed, and we point out exactly what it takes to get that fixed. And that presentation at the end of an inspection always goes really well when the realtor and the home inspector have visited and gotten to know each other and really kind of had tit for tat on exactly how to say something and how to express it. That really makes a big difference, and that's very appreciative of your group.
Well, thank you. And, you know, hand in hand with that, let me tell you that the public out there have seen TV shows and such and been warned that it don't get a realtor who knows the home inspector, they're going to collude against you and hide things that are wrong with the house so that your deal goes through and it doesn't bust out.
Well, that's exactly right. I think there are both realtors and home inspectors out there that works like that. I can assure you that's not the way that you guys work or that we're going to work. You know, the best way to really talk about a home inspector is we're partners with the house. We go in and we just tell exactly what is going on in the house at the very time that we're there. And that's really the best way, you know, that a home buyer can look at that is when you hire a home inspector, he should be not partial at all either way. He should be able to go in and just tell you exactly what's going on with your house. And then you and the realtor make up the mind on the TRR and the negotiations. That's our job.
And, you know, for our listeners, do you know what a TRR is? A TRR is an acronym for a form on that follows the contracting for a property after the inspection. The buyer has two choices. They can opt out of the contract and get their earnest money back, or they can issue a TRR and list the things that they expect the seller to repair, replace on the home. So the TRR is actually notice of treatment, repairs, and replacements. So if there is treatment, say you've got carpenter ants, it needs to be treated for carpenter ants or termites. If the microwave isn't working at all, then it needs to be replaced. If the hot water tank is, say there's a valve clogged or something, that needs to be repaired. Maybe not replace the whole hot water tank, but whatever it is, it's specific on the inspection form. But a lot of folks don't realize that there's those two options. And our contract is written that way to where you can opt out of your contract and get your earnest money back after your inspections. You have to do that within a certain period of time. And that timeline is defined by your specific contract, your purchase contract, or you can do a TRR. Treatments, repairs, and replacements, a list of things to be fixed. So that's, you know, the TRR is kind of what you're involved with. And I love the fact that you say you partner with the home.
Yeah, that really works well with us. And, you know, that TRR, and all the many homes that I've bought throughout my lifetime, that TRR is so important because, you know, quite frankly, that's kind of the last time that you have any negotiating power. You've got that TRR. You've got all the information that home inspection has given you on the report. You can work with the realtor, put the TRR together. And that's, you know, that's to some degree, that's your last opportunity to negotiate the price or negotiate what you want fixed and what they're willing to fix. So it's a big piece of the purchase process is getting that TRR filled out right, and you and the realtor working with that to get exactly what you want before you move into the house, which you deserve.
Right. And, you know, what happens if you make a list of 13 items and the seller is willing to repair 8 of those items? That TRR is negotiated back and forth. There's a time limit specified in each contract, and it varies per contract, and the time limit does. There's not a dollar amount. There used to be what we called a repair cap, but there's no longer a repair cap. It's just seller fix this, and if the seller doesn't fix it, maybe they'll fix 8 of the things, but not the remaining five items. And so we come to an agreement on that, and then we move forward. But if we cannot come to an agreement after a certain period of time, the contract is deemed null and void because there was no agreement on the TRR document. So, sometimes there needs to be clarification. Scott, do you ever get calls after an inspection?
Well, we do a lot of times. You know, for a lot of different reasons. For this very reason right here, they'll call and they'll want to know maybe some prices. But more than that, they'll want to get our opinion of, you know, for instance, if we write on our report that you used a water heater as an example, if a water heater is functioning but it has some corrosion or oxidation and the temperature is not exactly right, you know, you can usually repair that. And they'll want to call, you know, do you have any idea, Scott, of what the lifetime normally is for a hot water heater? Well, it's normally 10 to 15 years. So if you're in that, you know, that last 3 or 4 years, you might want to use a little bit more or a little bit different tactic on your TRR from a replacement or a repair perspective on that particular item if it's not working properly. So we get a lot of questions like that. We get a lot of questions that they want us to help them with pricing. And with you, it's so easy, Becky, with the other component specialists that you have. You know, we can turn it kind of back to you, and we know that all the people you use and are qualified and going to do their best can and not cut corners, which I'm not going to forget that. You said that early on, and that is really, really important to have those people come in and not cut any corners. So those are the kind of questions we get. You'd think that we get a lot of questions about price, but we don't. We don't get a lot of questions about that at all.
Well, and sometimes I think I've only called you one time in the last couple of years to explain something, and it was, if I'm remembering right, it was a pot filler on a house, and I was going, do you know what's wrong with it? I mean, what, it just wasn't working. And mm-hmm. It turns out there was a filter in that pot filler. It was changed, and it was fixed. It worked just fine. So, boy, Scott, do you remember what we were talking about before the break last time? We're going to talk about it right after the break this time. Good. We'll see you on the other side of the news. You guys stay tuned. There's a lot to learn about home inspections here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins team. I want to remind you that you can always go to BeckyIvins.com. You can contact me there. You can find my listings being homes on the market, fabulous photography. You can save yourself a trip to some houses because you're not going to be interested in, you only get to buy the one, right? So eliminate the ones you don't want to see. Great photography and a window into everything that is listed in the metro for sale. And we also have our list of favorites. And one of our favorites is Scott Hill of Call Us First Home Inspections. And to contact Scott, I'm going to give you his number, okay? Well, I say I'm going to. It is 640-0406. 640-0406. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you got to get it underway. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to fix the smallest repair or to put a whole commercial or residential roof on and handle every aspect of your insurance claim. I depended on Robbins Roofing just this week for a rental property in Norman that we own. And it's kind of amazing, his findings. Larry went himself, Larry Robbins, and he said, Becky, I went up there. I was up there, so why would I make a bid and have you pay for someone else to come? I just went ahead and did this small repair while I was there. And I'm going, well, awesome, Larry Robbins. So do call them. It's 728-3700, 728-3700. I want to remind everybody, this is extremely important. If you don't take anything else away from the show, take this. Most insurance companies now have a one-year look back, meaning sort of like a statute of limitations. If your hail damage was more than a year ago, they're not obligated to pay for it. So get your roof looked at. I'm going to give you that number again, 728-3700, a complimentary look at your roof. And if it's a great roof, they're just going to tell you it's a great roof. Robbins Roofing, their word every day is trust. Our word of the day is point in time. Does that mean anything to you, Scott? Point in time?
Boy, it means several things personally, but I think business-wise, I'll compliment you and your group again. You know, I'm certainly thankful for the point in time you and I got together and got to work with each other. I think that was an important point in time hopefully that, for both of us.
That was an important point in time. And, you know, that's kind of, point in time is sort of a redundant term, and it became popular when it was used by the astronauts seeking to distinguish precisely at a point in time and a point in space. And since most people, you know, use the expression in context where they're, that way there's no ambiguity. You know, it really is a point in time and a point in space. And space, that's important to a home inspector and to a buyer, because a home inspector is there for a limited period of time. And you are inspecting the home as it is, every aspect of it at a point in time, right?
That is correct. The home inspector's nightmare is are latent defects. You know, you go in and you test the hot water heater or the furnace or the air conditioner or any number of different components in the house. And when you're there at that time, the most difficult one are little leaks in the sink. Little small leaks in the sink can turn into be larger leaks in the sink in a very short period of time. But those latent defects, so that point in time that we're there when we do the inspection, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, all of a sudden we saw a little leak and we put it on the chart, but then 2 weeks later that little leak could be something much larger. And a lot of times home buyers or get frustrated over at us about that. You know what? I understand the frustration, and it's very, very difficult, almost impossible, to predict something that's going to take place from our point in time. But that is, those latent defects are the nightmare part of being a home inspector.
Well, our contract is very clear, and we make it clear to our clients that the home inspector cannot predict how long an appliance is going to last. The heating and air conditioning appear that you see this all the time on inspections appear to be at the end of their functional life. Well, if it's working as intended, it's not broken, then it's working according to our real estate purchase contract. And it could last another, you know, the oldest air conditioner I ever sold was 46 years old. I know, and it was still working as intended. Now, it was sucking up a lot of electricity, trust me, because it was far less than efficient, but it was working perfectly. The people bought it, and it continued to work, and they replaced it when they sold the house, which was 8 years later. So the I didn't sell the house with that old air conditioner the second time, so because they put in a new one to sell the house. But 46 and 8... that's an old air conditioner.
That is an old air conditioner. I'll tell you what, just to make another point here that I think is very important for our audience that are listening out there, is once you buy a house and you're in the house, the most important piece, the most important job performance of that house is maintenance. Just, you know, those are air conditioners that last, they're, you know, we tell them somewhere between 15 and 25 years. That's a big number. The ones that hit 25 to 30 to 46 years, like you're talking about, I can almost guarantee you they've had the filters changed every 2 or 3 months. They've had it serviced at least once every 2 years, and they really do the proper maintenance parts on all of the various components. That's very, very important, particularly if you're buying a house that's over 10 years old.
Right. Okay, so, but your inspections are a point in time. They are not 3 days before, and they are not 3 months after. You only can report on what you find the day of and at that particular property.
That's exactly right, and that's one of the reasons for the inspection. And when we go out and do an inspection, one of the pieces of a good inspector should be, for instance, a lot of inspectors don't run the water for at least an hour. We run every faucet, every bathtub, everything that has a spigot on it, we run it for at least an hour. That way you get a really good idea on, number one, on the leaks, but you get a better idea, and you can almost totally be sure that there's no leaks in the sewer system if you let it run that long. A lot of inspectors will go in, and they'll just pull the drain stopper up, fill up the sink, empty it out, look under, see if it is leaking or not, and that just really doesn't give you a really baseline good inspection for that day, because something could be backing up in there. You could have hair in it. What, who knows? But just going that little extra mile, making sure that you run the heater a little bit hotter than it's normally used to, and then checking the differentials, what temperature is coming out of the supply and what's going back into the return, making sure those have the right separation, which is about 15 degrees. All those little things that home inspectors are supposed to do give you a pretty good indication, as good of indication as you can have, on how well the various components are operating at that time.
Okay, great. Hey, Scott, do you remember what we were talking about before the news break? It was cost cutting on house flips.
I do, for a fact. It's interesting, Becky. You know, you know this. I was in the flipping business. That's the reason I got into home inspection business, because I got really frustrated with the home inspectors that I was using. They just weren't very thorough. When I first got into the home flipping business, we could go down to the sheriff's sale on the first Tuesday of every month, and there might be 15 to 20 of us, and there'd be 300 properties, and we could literally negotiate four or five deals while we were sitting there. Now you go down there, there's 500-600 people with 300 properties, and the prices, you just can't get the prices now, price points on a purchase that you used to. And what happens with that is that you have to, if you buy a home for $100,000, everybody that's in the flipping business has a price point. Similar to this point in time, they have a price point or percentage of profit that they want to make. So they build in whatever percentage of profit that is. And once they get to the point to where they've spent that amount of money repairing it, then they go back and they look and see what can they cut, what costs can they cut. And that's happening. It's rampant this day and time because of the competition with buying the houses. So if you're buying a house that's been purchased recently and fixed up for a flip, and that's not necessarily a negative term, I would really, really be cautious and have your inspector do a thorough job, because typically there are going to be things they'll skip. I'm going to give you a great example. You go into a house that has an attic with a rooftop with the sheathing, and the support boards are over 8 feet long. Those should have saddlebacks on them or support boards on them. That's one of the first places that contractors or flippers will skip costs on, because that's just a cost, but it is really needed, because those roofs, as they age with the different shingles, particularly if you have to replace them, they get heavier, and you've just got to have that support in there. Those are little things you can look at, and we try to do a good job with that.
Do you know something? Scott, I started to list a house this week. Actually, it was about a month ago we started the process, and there was obvious structural stuff going on with the house, because there were big cracks in the wall, not little cracks, and I could feel the crack under my feet under the carpet. Now, I have sensitive feet. I can walk through and tell you whether a house is level or not. It's just a quirk, you know, but I felt the raising, it was a pretty significant crack under that carpet. So, and then cracks in the walls. Brought a structural engineer in who also says, by the way, there's no saddlebacks, and there's no collar ties in that attic.
Oh, goodness.
These homes were built like this, and that needs to be fixed. And the thing is, because the house, and a collar tie is like the small triangle of, you put it below the peak, the ridge of the roof. It's a cross member. Tell us what a saddleback is, Scott.
Yeah, a saddleback is just another piece of wood. Generally, it's the same size. It could be a 2x4, 2x12, 2x6. But you'll go into the attic and you'll see the support boards that usually go in between the cross ties, which are the cross ties that Becky was talking about. And those boards are actually the primary support board for the roof. And if those boards are over 8 feet long, then they need to have a secondary support board. We call it saddleback or stiff back, that is attached to that board. If you've got a 12-foot support board, then your saddleback or your stiff back or your other support board should be attached directly to it, and it should be less than 8.5 feet long. If you've got an 8-foot board, then it needs to be no less than 6.5 feet long. And that just adds extra stability to your home and to your roof system. which in essence is your structure.
Right. So there's a lot to this, the house flipping, and some people don't know what they're doing. I'll tell you what, we're out of time for this segment, but I have got a fabulous flip as a smoking hot deal when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Good morning and welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. We are honored to have Scott Hill with Call Us First Home Inspections on the line with us. And to contact Scott, you really only need to call his number, which is 405-640-0406. Lots of fours and O's and sixes in there. Okay. It is 640-0406. And that is my friend Scott Hill with Call Us First Home Inspections. Okay, Scott, we got about 2 minutes left. What's your last word of advice for us when choosing a home inspector?
I think two things, Becky, if you don't mind. We have really picked our business up. There are a lot of people that you always think of the buyer as being the person that needs a home inspector. A lot of times people that are selling their house, having a home inspection, we do that at a little bit of a discount just to give them an idea of what they might find or what they could fix prior to the house going on the market. And then the other thing that I would suggest that you really listen and work with your realtor and make sure that your realtor has some confidence in, as well as a working relationship with the inspector or the inspection company that you're using. Those two things are really, really important. I mentioned it earlier in the broadcast today, but the more or the better relationship that the realtor and the home inspection company have, the better job that both of them are going to be able to do for you over the long haul.
Scott Hill, my favorite home inspector with Call Us First Home Inspections. Just go to BeckyIvins.com and look at Becky's favorites, and you're going to find Scott there. And Scott, I appreciate you being on the show. I've got one more little announcement to make. If you are a realtor and you want the best education ever, there's a 2-hour educational event on Tuesday at Central Oklahoma Home Builders Association. I'll be moderating the Appraisal Summit. Comes with a box lunch. Just call Central Oklahoma Home Builders Association or call me, Becky Ivins, at 722-3232, and we'll get you hooked up. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week right here at 8 o'clock on News Radio 1000 KTOK.